Good morning. I'm going to give you a little something to, hi Sandra, a little something to meditate on, to prepare for worship, and then Marilyn will play the prelude, and then we'll get into the rest. I have to say that out loud so I don't remember not to bulldoze right past the prelude, which I have been known to do. When I was graduating from high school, my mother, I was talking to my mother about different colleges where I wanted to go. I wanted to be an English major. And I was telling my mother, boy, I wonder what kind of English, if they have a good English program at, you know, the local college, Staten Island Community College. I wonder what the English program is like there. And she looked at me and she said, no, it doesn't matter how, I mean, it matters. But what really matters is what you put in is what you'll get out. So I invite you to think about that as you sit here in church and your role as Christians out in the world. What you put in, what you put into it, is what you'll get out of it. Caught me off guard. It ended sooner than I expected. Good morning. Welcome to Petaluma United Methodist Church. I am Pastor Rob Herman. I see new faces. I see a whole row back there who I don't recognize. Welcome. Good to see you. Let's see if there are any announcements. We have admin council this afternoon via Zoom. That's right, right? 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock? Thank you. So if you're a member of the admin council, I will expect to see you there with a full accountancy of what you've been doing in the world. Any other announcements? Take this off? June nodding vigorously, yes. Because you want to see my handsome face, right? Wow. Susan Salverson is here, everybody. What a surprise. You have something, Peter? Did you all hear that? Peter promised somebody a copy of the book Checkmate in Berlin. So if you were the person who he promised that copy to, not this one, let him know and he will give that to you. This one's mine. What's that?
It was mine.
It was yours. Now it's mine. See? Sharing. Sharing. This week, as part of my ordination process, I will be at a training class, Residence Practicing Ministry Academy, from Monday through Thursday. Sandra's nodding, you know what it is. So that I will be out of town. If you have pastoral emergencies while I'm gone, Reverend Betty Padgett will be covering. So you can contact her or contact the church office. You know how to contact her, right, Olivet? Okay, good. So she will be covering for me any pastoral emergencies. I will be back Friday here on Sunday, and then I go on vacation when that Wednesday, the 25th. Again, Reverend Betty Padgett will cover any pastoral emergencies. That Sunday, Susan Salverson will be covering for me here. Stand up, and some of you may have met Susan. She was here last week. She just graduated from seminary, was in need of a place to stay while she's in transition on what her next, what the next step on her journey is. So I, being the gracious Christian that I am, offered her a room in the Rona Park Parsonage, which has four bedrooms. So that's how we do it, right? If you have, you share. So anyway, so she will be preaching and leading worship on that Sunday, the 29th. Thank you, the 29th. And then I'll be back on the 1st, and we'll be we'll start September. We have some fun plans coming up. September 8th, we're brainstorming and bubbling about a back to Sunday school Sunday. So it's going to be a Sunday school theme when we're here on the 8th. We're going to have a Bible verse memorization. We're trying to find a flannel board so we can tell the Bible story with those old, remember those old flannel boards? So that's what we're thinking about, right? We're going to have snacks to go. Nora warned me very clearly this morning, we will give these to people on their way out, because, yeah. Anyway, so let's join together in our call to worship.
Good morning. Please join me in our call to worship. Give thanks to God. We thank God for joy, for laughter, for abundant blessings of every kind. Give thanks to God at all times and for everything. Thank God when we can and as we can, for struggles, for solitude, for fears. Give thanks to God at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that in Christ our joys as well as our pain, our losses as well as our laughter, are in God's heart and hands. Hum, please.
Thank you.
Speaking of Sunday school, right? That's a song that, I don't know, I sang that in Sunday school growing up. Didn't you all? You know, when we're out in the world all week, it's very easy to forget God's presence in your life, which is, you know, a form of sin. You kind of separate yourselves. That's why I'm always talking about spiritual disciplines and maintaining that during the week. But there's always the opportunity to come back, and God is always ready and luring you back into God's presence. So I invite you to this time of confession.
Please hear our prayer of confession. You must shake your head in wonder at our ways, Keeper of the Covenant. How can we say we want wisdom when we foolishly squander the knowledge we have of your ways? How can we claim to follow you when we walk the slippery roads of the world, not caring where they lead us? How can we desire your great and steadfast love when the simple seductions of our society are in full view every day? How can you have mercy on such unwise and unfaithful people, perfect wisdom? Yet, that is exactly what you do. And our greed turns to gratitude, our pettiness to praise, our tantrums to thanksgiving, as hope and joy become our blessing through the one we call our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I invite you into a few moments of silence to consider those sins that are perhaps deeper than and more personal than are covered in a pre-printed prayer here. Hear this good news, beloved community. In Christ, God sent redemption for all. In Christ, God feels our hungry souls, feeds our hungry souls. In Christ, God gives the cup of salvation to thirsty people. And we give thanks to God for everything, forgiveness, hope, new life. The people say, Amen. Amen.
Pray before our scripture reading. God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture reading is from John. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever.
So here we are. It's been about 5 weeks, and we've been talking about the bread of life, the bread of life, the bread of life. It's been about 5 weeks now, and I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little tired about hearing about bread. And when I was reading this, and I was like, oh, bread again? I'm so tired of this bread. It reminded me of the Israelites in the desert, the story told in Exodus and Numbers. You know, Exodus and Numbers, among the first five books in the Bible, the Pentateuch, as they call it. That's the Greek, Penta, five. There's a, you know, we all know about the manna that comes from, that came from heaven. The God, after liberating the Hebrews, the Israelites, I guess they weren't Israelites yet, but after liberating the Hebrews from Egypt, leads them out into the desert to freedom, to be their full selves. God did not create them to be slaves to Egypt. He leads them out. I keep saying releases, and it's not a release. Pharaoh did not release them. They escaped. God led them out, leads them into the desert, and they wandered for 40 years. And the first thing they start to realize is, how are we going to eat? And God provided manna. Manna would come overnight. And when they woke up, like the dew, would be the manna, which was like they say it was like flakes, like coriander seed, and they would collect that, and then they could grind it and make cakes out of it. Not like birthday cakes, but, you know, bread. Bread. Well, after a while, our lovely Hebrew friends started to get a little tired of the manna. When are we going to get some meat? And Numbers tells us they even reminisced back to their time in Egypt. Remember when we used to have those beautiful cucumbers and leeks, right? They're starting to crave what they had back in Egypt, back when they were slaves. So they're complaining to Moses, we want meat. Why can't we have some meat? Maybe we should just go back to Egypt. And Moses is like, okay, let me go and pray about this, right? Which is what we should all be doing. And he goes back to God and he prays, you know, why are you doing this to me? You called me to lead these people, and what did I do to deserve this? That's exactly what he says. So, and God is like, okay, I will provide meat for the people. And Moses is like, how are you going to do that in the desert, right? I have 600,000 people with me. Where are you going to find enough meat for all these people? There aren't enough fish in the sea. And God says, don't question me. I said I'm going to give you meat, and I will give you meat. Now gather together 70 of the elders. Remember that number, because next week we're going to revisit this, kind of. Gather together 70 of the elders and bring them into the house of meeting. And I will come and I will disperse some of my spirit on all of them so that they can help you in managing the crowds. So Moses does this. 70 of the elders come into the house of meeting, and while they're there, the spirit in a cloud descends into this tent. Remember the cloud. Nora, you're in charge. 70 elders and the cloud.
Okay.
Descends into the tent, and they start to prophesy, which I think I told this story to you before, right? No? I have, right? I'm pretty sure. Remember, prophesy means ecstatic dancing. They're so filled with the spirit that they can't help it, and they start to dance. They start to shake or whatever, right? So while this is happening, remember that too. Next week, remember that they kind of lose control is what happens. And then a messenger runs in, Moses, Moses, Eldad and Medad. Eldad and Medad were two elders that for whatever reason didn't make it to the tent, but they're prophesying out in the camp anyway. And Joshua, Moses, right-hand man, Moses, you should stop them. And Moses is like, why would I stop them? As far as I'm concerned, we should all be filled with the Spirit, whether we're in the tent or out there. So that happens in the middle of this. But God does not forget that God said God would send meat. The next day, from the east, from the west, from the south, from the north, you don't have to memorize anything else anymore.
Okay.
Quails descend on the camp. Like knee-high in quails. You know what a quail is, right? Yeah, you're Californians. Of course you know what a quail is. I remember when I lived in Sacramento, I used to ride my bike along the American River, the bike path along the American River. And in the spring, you would see little families of quails would run across the track. Adorable, right? Because they're only like this big. So imagine knee-high in quails in the whole camp. They are overrun with these quails because God is a little mad at them. He's like, you want meat? I'll give you meat. And he just pours these quails. It says it in the scripture. That's what it says. God is angry at them. And he does it, and he disperses so many quails on them that it's like coming out of their ears. Or if I were going to quote the scripture, out of their nostrils. They are so overrun with these quails. Because what has happened is these Israelite Hebrews who were enslaved in Egypt and God liberated them have now turned around and oppressed God. God's mission, God's desire for us is to be in relationship with God, in a liberated state. God does not desire for us to be enslaved by anything, by Egypt, by our own preconceived notions of the way things should be, by language, by societal expectations, by anything that keeps us from being in full relationship with God and all those around us, and reflecting that love from God back out to others. So these Israelites have diminished God by pushing back against what God says, by questioning, how are you going to supply meat for 600,000 people? Moses and the Israelites, by extension, have put God into a box by doubting what God can do. God transcends our little human minds. And anytime we put God into one of those boxes or diminish what God can and will do, then we are, in effect, oppressing God. We are enslaving God, putting God into chains. A couple weeks ago, you've all noticed, I'm sure, when I say the prayer that Jesus taught, that I open with our mother instead of our father, which is what we were probably all taught, right? Our Father who art in heaven. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters call that prayer the Our Father. To me, that is a form of oppression. We have put God in some way into a little box as a male, probably a white male, based on the way I was raised and the pictures that I saw in church and in Sunday school of Jesus as a white man with flowing blonde hair. Jesus was not a white male. Jesus was a Middle Eastern Jew in an oppressive Roman society. By portraying him as a white male, we in effect say that God is a white male and that white males are then God. Patriarchy comes from that, right? This is the idea that men are here and everybody else is down here, right? In a hierarchical structure. Women, people of color, right? We saw it in America during voting, right? If you follow the line of how voting rights were given so generously to others, it's based on property, who owns the property, what color they are, and then gender. So when I am saying the prayer that Jesus taught us and saying mother instead of father, I am intentionally using provocative language. I want to trigger thoughts in you that kind of break down those chains that are oppressing and enslaving those around you so that you will be more open to understanding different outlooks. Does that make sense? You might not like it. But I am all about planting seeds. You don't have to believe anything I tell you. You don't have to act on anything I tell you. I am telling you what the Spirit, I feel, is projecting back out to you. And if you don't believe it now, somewhere down the line, perhaps, you will have a seed that will help you to understand something else that you'll come into contact with. Because that's what God wants. God wants you, as a liberated person, free from oppression, filled with God's love, to recognize God's presence in every single person you meet. Whether they be LGBTQ, whether they be of a different color, whether they're dirty, whether you don't like them, whether they're mean, God loves them, you should love them. And that's why it's important to recognize the boxes that we are in, whether we have created them ourselves or whether they have been created for us, which is what patriarchy has done for 2,000 plus years. So wherever those boxes come from, I strongly suggest that you do the work to break down those boxes, and I am here to help you with that by throwing provocative thoughts at you and explaining them so that I can help you be the Christians that God has called you to be. John Shelby Spong, the retired Episcopalian bishop of Newark, New Jersey, he's written quite a few books, pretty prolific to say. He breaks down Jesus' entire message into three main points: love wastefully, live fully, and be all that God created you to be. God created you to be a co-liberator with God, to help those who are oppressed and in a box, to help you break out of those. We are co-liberators, and to be a co-liberator, you really need to recognize your own oppression so that you can break free with the help of God and others. And then we go out into the world and free the world and bring about the kingdom that Jesus spoke so frequently about. Gracious God, transcendent, immanent, in the spaces between us, always working to pull us together, closer to you, recognizing your image in each of us. We have lifted up prayers of concern for those who we love who are suffering from illnesses, those who are suffering from national turmoils, Afghanistan, Haiti. We pray for them that they may find some comfort. However you offer that comfort, O God, it is not for us to decide how you will do that. Your will is best. As we go out into the world and reconnect with loved ones, help us to see your image in them, to recognize your reflection from them back out into us, that we may be mirrors of your love. Help us to be liberators, freers from the oppression that comes so easily in this dark and scary world, and yet your beautiful presence is always there. We lift up this prayer and all prayers in the name of our brother Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the power, the kingdom, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
God has shown us the meaning of generosity in the beautiful diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, and in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that blesses others through the sharing of our love, our talents, and our material possessions. Let us rejoice now in what we have been given and in what is ours to give as we receive and give our morning offering. And there should be places in the back, baskets. We do not pass offering during this healthcare time. There are baskets at the front and also at the back, and we appreciate your support.
If you happen to be listening to this recording on the podcast and would like to contribute to the work of this church, you can do that either by mailing a check to 410 D Street, that's D as in David Street, here in Petaluma, California, or you can make your donation online. There is a button on the website at petalumaumc.org. Holy Spirit, bless what we have brought forth to meet the spiritual and physical needs of our community. May we have fortitude when we feel weary. May we be surprised by moments of connection and delight. When we feel resentment toward others, or when we feel judgment toward ourselves, may compassion usher us more deeply toward each other, where our freedom intertwines. And the beloved community says, Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is Be Thou My Vision. Beloveds, as you go out into the world this week, labor to bring forth new life. Dream dreams. Pursue visions. Speak of God's goodness in the words of those who would hear. And may the God who breathed life into creation be your delight. May Jesus Christ give hope to your dreaming. And may the Holy Spirit, your advocate and supporter, set your hearts ablaze with a passion for peace. Go and serve our God. Amen. Amen.